I think you've got to recognise that the...
We're just going to come out of this clip from Boris Johnson because Simon Marks joins us again with some breaking news, Simon.
Yes, Ian, we've just had a statement by the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. This is a written statement that has been distributed to reporters. And it says, during a meeting this morning with the G7 leaders, President Biden conveyed that our mission in Kabul will end based on the achievement of our objectives. He confirmed that we are currently on pace to finish by August the 31st and provided an update on progress in evacuating Americans, third country nationals, and Afghans who were our allies during the war. He also made clear that with each day of operation on the ground, we have added risk to our troops with increasing threats from ISIS-K, and this is the important bit, that completion of the mission by August the 31st depends on continued coordination with the Taliban, including continued access for evacuees to the airport. In addition, the president has asked the Pentagon and the State Department for contingency plans to adjust the timetable should that become necessary. Now, as you know, President Biden was supposed to personally appear at the White House at 5 o'clock London time. It didn't happen. Then we were told it was going to happen at 7 o'clock. Now we're told it's going to happen at 9:30 UK time. His press secretary, Jen Psaki, who has just issued that statement, is supposed to be briefing reporters herself in about 15 minutes' time. But this is a curious statement because on the one hand it says the mission's going to end potentially on August the 31st based on the achievement of the president's objectives, but then it goes on to say that the mission won't end on August the 31st if the Taliban deny access to the airport for evacuees, that the president is asking his military and diplomatic planners to prepare contingency plans, potentially to allow the U.S. military to remain at the airport beyond August the 31st. So this, I think, an indication of the enormous pressure that the president came under during that G7 meeting from the prime minister, from the French president. They've come under enormous pressure here from the Australians in the last few days, from the European Union to maintain some presence at the airport, as EU chiefs put it today, for as long as necessary. But it's also, I think, indicative of the growing concern up on Capitol Hill, not just among the president's political opponents, but more importantly in this context, among the president's fellow Democrats who are listening to security briefings that they're getting from Pentagon and State Department officials and coming to the conclusion that there is no possible way this evacuation effort is going to be complete at its current pace by August the 31st. So he's definitely leaving the door open to some kind of presence at the airport beyond August the 31st, but is essentially in this statement saying to the Taliban, you carry on making sure that all these evacuees can get to the airport, we'll clear off as planned at the end of the month, in essence, putting the ball back in the Taliban's court.
Tony in Reigate has texted saying, is Biden trying to stave off resignations? Which I think is an interesting question because he must be coming under a lot of pressure from within his administration. I mean, what does the Defense Secretary and the Secretary of State, what do you think their stance is on this?
Well, I don't think there's any possibility that over the long term he's going to be able to stave off resignations. I think Tony is asking a very perceptive question there. It's really a question of whether this team is going to hold together until the immediate crisis is over. You can see the stress and the strain and in some cases the anger of officials etched into their faces. We had a briefing last week from the Deputy Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman, who was getting emotional behind the podium because she spent an enormous amount of time herself in Afghanistan working on women's rights issues and went far, far further in her briefing to reporters than President Biden had gone a couple of days earlier when he sort of briefly mentioned mentioned women's rights and girls' rights in Afghanistan, but seemed relatively unmoved by the issue. There's no question that every time Lloyd Austin, the defence secretary, appears in front of a camera, he's asked if he's thinking of resigning. The Pentagon spokesman insists that that is not an issue that is currently on Lloyd Austin's radar screen. Anthony Blinken seems, the Secretary of State, utterly browbeaten and somewhat defeated by the events of the last few days. And Jake Sullivan, at 44, the President's completely embattled national security advisor, there are definitely people calling at some point for him to go. But it would be difficult, I think, for President Biden to lose people right now. He needs the skill, he needs the expertise in these governing departments to get this evacuation done. He evidently wants to get it done by August the 31st, and it's absolutely clear that whether it's America's allies, members of his own government, or critically, members of Congress up on Capitol Hill, whose support he needs for a whole raft of other reasons, pressure is being brought to bear on him, and you can see it as you read between the lines of this somewhat confused statement.
In terms of the G7 meeting chaired by Boris Johnson, do you get the feeling that that has been crucial in maybe slightly changing the president's mind, or do you think it is pressure from within the administration more?
I think it's probably both. If you look at the G7 statement that the leaders put out, without saying we're deeply critical of President Joe Biden, it is it's pretty damning. We express our grave concern about the situation in Afghanistan and call for calm and restraint to ensure the safety and security of vulnerable Afghan and international citizens and the prevention of a humanitarian crisis. Well, it's pretty obvious who sparked the threat of that humanitarian crisis and the threat to the safety and security of vulnerable Afghan and international citizens, and that's clearly Joe Biden with his entirely arbitrary date for what he wanted to be the completion of the military withdrawal, August the 31st. He wanted them out so that on the 20th anniversary of the attacks of September the 11th, 2001, he was going to be able essentially to celebrate a successful end to America's longest war. That is completely off the table now, and certainly, if you look at that G7 leader statement on Afghanistan, it's pretty apparent who they are blaming for all of this. The blame is stacking up at Joe Biden's door. I mean, the one thing that the White House can, I think, take some comfort from is the fact that if you look in the polling, yes, Joe Biden's approval ratings are slipping and slipping fairly rapidly. But if you look in the at the polling of issues that people say they are primarily concerned about in the United States, Afghanistan doesn't really make a ripple. I mean, it's all about the economy and healthcare and COVID-19. And in those areas, his numbers are still holding up. But the longer this goes on and the greater the sense of American humiliation here, the more dangerous that is for President Biden.
And just finally, this huddle with Jen Psaki, is that going to be a formal press conference or she's just briefing reporters off camera?
It's her daily press briefing. It's supposed to start in 10 minutes time. Like everything else today, it's had multiple start times during the day, but it's now supposed to start in 10 minutes, an hour before President Biden will apparently walk into the briefing room and try to clarify what he's decided to do.
Simon, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you later in the evening. That's Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent.